Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. We're going through the Gospel of John today. We've gotten to about chapter 7, and we'll back up here to verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, speaking of the Feast of Tabernacles, they had been out in the wilderness celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles for, this is the eighth day, the last day of the feast. And Jesus stands up and he shouts out, or cries, it says, he stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, Of a truth, this is that the prophet. But they were waiting for the prophet, the Christ, the Messiah. This, of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, This is the Christ. But some said, Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? See, some of them did know what was written. So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said unto them, Why have you not brought him? And the officers answered, Never a man spake like this man. Because of the, we didn't bring him, we couldn't take him. You should have heard the things that he was saying. No one ever talked like this before. No one ever spoke like this man. How could we take him? And the Pharisees answered and said, Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Nicodemus said to them, He that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, Doth our law judge any man before it hear him, and know what he doeth? And they answered and said to him, Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own house. That's what happened when the feast was over. Everyone went to their own house. But apparently out of Galilee no prophet arises. So they understood that Jesus was coming out of Galilee. But they should have known that he came out of Nazareth, and that he was born at Bethlehem. If they had cared to search it out, they would have found it out. But it seems that they only wanted to condemn the man. In the Gospel of John, chapter 8. Jesus went on to the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again to the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So he's just kind of doodling in the, on the ground with his finger. And this, like, he doesn't, like they're not even there. So when they continued asking him, he lifted himself up and he said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. And there's a lot wrong with this little tribunal that's going on here, between Jesus, the Pharisees that brought him, the scribes and the Pharisees, and the woman. How can a woman commit adultery all by herself? What's wrong with this picture? Where's the man? Is the man excused? So a woman can't commit adultery all by herself. So this is kind of like a kangaroo court. I guess that's what they would term it. The deck was, you know, pretty much stacked against this woman. So what are they going to do? He can't condemn her. There's no trial. Where's the man? Where are the witnesses? They want him to condemn her unlawfully. So he says, so he doesn't answer them. He doesn't answer their question. He doesn't tell them what to do about their proposed question, their hypothetical situation, bringing this poor woman and dropping her on the ground there before him. So he says to them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. He turns the onus back onto them. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Now, a lot of people like to speculate about what Jesus wrote on the ground. I don't know. I'm not even going to speculate. You know, perhaps one day I'll ask him, but he didn't write it in the book here for us. So, anyway, verse 9, chapter 8. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out, one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. Yes, what a picture that would have been. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said to her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said to her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. What did Jesus do here? Well, he preaches the gospel to her. What is the gospel that Jesus taught us? The gospel that Jesus taught us is repent, for the kingdom is at hand. When he said, go and sin no more, that's what he's saying to her. Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. His instructions are for her to go and repent and sin no more, because that's what repentance is all about. It's about sinning no more. It may be difficult. It may be a challenge for us to go and sin no more, but we are called overcomers. Not because it's easy, but because it's hard. Because we have something to overcome. We get over it. Whatever the reason, whatever excuses we have for engaging and continuing in our sin, we get over it. We overcome it. We are overcomers. We repent. And we continue in that process of repentance until we learn obedience. This is not about easy believism. The gospel is not about that. It's not about go and sin all you want. Just make sure you come back and confess your sins again so that they can be absolved, so that Christ can be crucified again. No, he was crucified once for all. Eating a wafer and drinking a little bit of taking out of a little plastic cup ain't going to help you. Going down the aisle over and over, continually going to confession to have your sins heard by a man so that they can be absolved again, while you already have a reservation to go out and sin again. No, Jesus didn't say that. He said, go and sin no more. See, this woman who is caught in adultery is a picture of us. She's the one who got preached to. We don't know where the other party of the adultery was, not even mentioned. There was a man. You can't commit adultery alone. Otherwise, there's no act. Caught in the very act, they said. Well, where was the man? But the important thing is that he preached the gospel to her. He told her to repent, to go and sin no more. That's what repentance means. It means to go and sin no more. Whatever it takes, you got to stop. You got to overcome. You got to crucify the deeds of the flesh and sin no more. So hopefully that woman took his word and she left off her adultery, however that came about, and she did not do that anymore. So Jesus spake to them, unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. And there it is. Go and sin no more. shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. They're taking his words out of context and turning them back on him. But Jesus answered and said to them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came, and whither I go. But you cannot tell whence I came, and whither I go. So you don't know where I'm from, you don't know where I'm going. You can't tell. He says, you judge after the flesh. You judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Now, how did the Father bear witness of him? How did that happen? Well, at the Jordan River baptism, the Father spoke, This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. How else did the Father bear witness of the Son? By the miracles, by the healing, by the signs and the wonders that followed him, the Father bears witness. So it says that we bear witness, two witnesses, the Father and me. Then they said to him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, You neither know me nor my Father. For if you have known me, you should have known my Father also. These words Jesus spake in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then Jesus said unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself, because he saith, Whither I go, you cannot come? And he said to them, You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. He's telling them that they have a choice. If ye believe not that I am. And of course the Authorized King James Version here adds the he. Ye shall die in your sins. Chapter 8, verse 25. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus, they're hearing him say these words. And they're starting to wonder because of the words he's saying. Remember what the people that were charged to take him, the officers, said, Never. We've never heard anybody talk like this before. And so they're kind of wondering, who is this guy? They said to him, Who art thou? And Jesus said to them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. He said, I've been telling you all along who I am. I'm not somebody else. I have many things to say and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spoke to them of the Father. Then said Jesus to them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. See, Jesus is not being elusive. He's speaking what the Father told him to speak, and that's what he is telling them. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. See, some, it got into their spirit. It penetrated to their heart, and they believed on him, because the Father called them. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered and said, They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free?" Now there's a little clue here, okay? Because they said, "We be Abraham's seed." These are the scribes and the Pharisees, the ones that don't believe not. Okay? They answered and said to him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man." Huh. Now, if they were the Abraham seed that went into Egypt, they would be Israelites. But perhaps there's a clue here that the ones speaking were not Israelites, but perhaps they were Edomites, proselytes, hirelings. I think we have a lot of them out there today in the visible church, as they had in the visible church then. They had a lot of proselytes, converts, but they were not true Israelites. Just a little anomaly that pops up here. Because how could they say, if they were Israelites, that they were never in bondage to any man? How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say to you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." That is pretty plain language now he's speaking to them. He's telling them that they are slaves of sin. Okay? "And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed." What he's saying is, "I know who you are, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which you have seen with your father." And they answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." And Jesus said to them, If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God." Ooh, you know, as they would say in the world, touche, because they believe, you know, they've done a little homework, and they know that Jesus was of questionable birth, right? "We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God." Well, Jesus corrects them. Jesus said unto them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convicteth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye heareth them not, because ye are not of God." Then answered the Jews and said to him, "Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" So, you know, that was a bad name. You know, if they called you a Samaritan, they were, you know, this is what you call an ad hominem attack. You know, he says, "Which of you convicts me of sin?" Well, they couldn't convict him of sin. They could find no evil deed that he done. So here comes the ad hominem attack. "Well, we used to say we not well that you are a Samaritan and hast a devil." Okay, yeah, that's all you got. Anyway, Jesus answered, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? And Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. Then the Jews are losing this argument. They don't even know it yet. Then said the Jews, You're not 50 years old. You're not even 50 years old yet. And hast thou seen Abraham? And they're chuckling and giggling among themselves. Who does this guy think he is? But listen to this answer. And Jesus said to them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Before Abraham was, I am. Ooh, then they took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by.